Well, we're glad you're here this morning. We'll look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings on our service. I know we're a little bit thin this morning. We got several people. I think over half the choir is out sick, and there's something going around. So be praying for those folks that are out, and they'll recover. And I'm just glad that they using wisdom and not coming anyway and sharing their journeys with us. Amen. And I remember the days where if I didn't have a fever, I went. In fact, I've preached on three different occasions with a fever of 102 to 105. And one was a funeral. I felt like I had to because there was no one else. I had the young man on staff that worked with me had never done a funeral. He just graduated. And so he ran interference and I stayed in the back room. I came out and preached, called on someone to pray for the funeral. Then I went out and excused myself so I wasn't around anyone. And the time before that, we were in Germany, and they opened the back door. It was about 2 degrees outside with 6-8 inches of snow on the ground. But they saw me sweating bullets from the fever, so they opened the door for me. So everybody was shivering except for me. And so hopefully I'll never have to or be in that position where I have to again. But praise the Lord, it's not today. I feel great. I think I might have an hour message in me today. I don't know. Amen. If that's the case, we better get moving. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings. Brother Enoch, would you open us in prayer, please?
For you, we give you the honor. Father, prepare our hearts, our mind, our thoughts, that we might come before you and worship you, Lord. Be with Pastor Cook as he will be bringing your word. Before we even came here, Lord, you already know our hearts. And so speak to us, Lord, those that are under the weather, Lord, those that are traveling, and be with us here, Lord. If there's any visitors this morning and they do not know you, may today be the day of salvation for such a person or persons, Lord. And Father, everything we do here, may it be for your honor and glory. In Christ's name we ask, amen.
Christ is King, for he conquered death once for all. We will live in light of his victory, following his gospel call. And when the story ends, we know Jesus wins, for his blood in our disguise. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will, overcome the Lord our God. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will, overcome the Lord our God. The Lord our God.
Please stand and open hymnals to number 305. Praise Him, praise Him. 305. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Hail Him, hail Him.
Our shake hand and choir's going to come down in just a moment. Before we do that, as I mentioned before, I do things a little bit different than traditional. Why not have some exciting news even before the preaching takes place? Amen. Kathleen, why don't you and the kids come on up? Caden, were you going to come and join Mom? Amelia, you want to join her? As you, many of you have already met Kathleen and her two beautiful children, and they are coming to unite with Harvest Baptist Church, and I've had an opportunity to talk with her. And that, we won't bite, buddy. So it's good to, so good to have them with us. So we get a motion to accept Miss Kathleen into our family of our membership here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother Draper. I have a second real quick. Thank you, Brother Enoch. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
So we're going to, looking forward to some years and years of going. And I know Miss Pat and Brother Enoch, Miss Pat are excited to see them in Children's Church. So we're looking forward to that as well. God is honoring us. God is blessing us. We've had families join last year. A new family started to join this year. We'll just continue serving the Lord and wait. Just can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do. Amen. So let's stand together. The choir's going to come down. We're going to fellowship. Make your way by to welcome Kathleen and children to fellowship. And make sure you shake hands with one another as well. Just remember to pray for our church, for our men of our church and leadership of our church, as we continue to ask God's blessings to do something in a special way here in our service today, but also throughout the week. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, Father, we come beseeching, Father, begging you, Father, to do something that only you could do in the midst of our services today. Father, I pray that you would bless and encourage our men. Put a hedge about them, Father. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress, Father. Use them in a mighty way to make an impact, not only at home, but, Father, in their community, where they work, and here in our church, and our church family. May they set that example as mentoring men, encouraging other men and young men in our church. Father, bless our ladies, Father, here at Harvest Baptist Church. Oh, what a blessing they are, and willing to serve and ready to do and to fill in and help out. But, Father, I'm grateful for a group of men who are also willing to stand and help out, where they have such a wonderful balance in our church with men being involved in ministry. We ask that you continue to bless us in that area and these men. Be with our children, Father. What a blessing today to see another family come and join and a couple more children. Father, I pray that you would bless them, Father, as later they will also be going out and having a time with their children's ministry. And I thank you for Brother Enoch and Miss Pat and the Cherry family, Lord, at work with our children. And the Father, as thinking of Brother Cherry, Father, I pray that you continue to be with him and Miss Agnes. I know she's been out sick, and Brother Mike recovering from his surgery. I pray he'll be back on his feet and back to himself once again. I know how I miss him standing behind me on that second row and belting out those songs as he sings. Father, I pray that you bless him. And now, Father, once again, we ask your blessings upon the men of Harvest. Encourage them, strengthen them, use them in a very unique and a special way. But, Father, also I ask of one more thing this morning. Give them a continued tender heart, a heart that's sensitive to you, Father, not only in doing your will, but, Lord, responding when you work in their hearts and conviction comes, that they would respond accordingly, Father, whether it's a confessing of sin, doing things right, Lord, or just something in their life that needs to change. Father, I pray that you, starting with me, help us always be sensitive to that move and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, bless the reading of your word, the special music and the preaching to follow. We'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, we'll read our text this morning before Miss Michelle comes to sing for us, and we'll continue with our series on killing Jesus. The last three services, we've talked about the gathering for the Passover. We'll finish that up to this morning and go on to the next set of scriptures as we make our way to the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. Luke chapter 22, begin reading in verse number 31, and we'll read verses 31 through 38 this morning. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith will fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in prison and in death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For this I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough.
One day a plain villain by law, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb.
Give his life, surely we are willing to live for him. Amen. Amen. Let's look at our text this morning as we read earlier in Luke chapter 22, and we'll continue with our study in the gathering, part three of the gathering of the Passover. We have looked at the purpose of the gathering, we've looked at the place, the participation, the pattern. Last week we looked at the betrayal and the display of pride at the gathering. And then this morning, we'll look at two. First one this morning, the prediction at the garden. The prediction at the garden. See, this prediction refers to Peter's denial of Christ, which leads to the crucifixion of our Savior. And dear friends, God knows exactly what's going on in your life and in my life. He knows exactly what will take place tomorrow, the next day. In fact, He knows exactly how long I'll preach today. He'll know where we'll go to have lunch and how well we'll sleep this afternoon in our nap. He knows all things. There's nothing that we can hide from Him. Notice concerning the prediction at the gathering, letter A, the source of the problem. In verse number 31, as we look at the source of the problem, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Simon, as wheat, dear friends, have desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Dear friends, Satan is always the source of our problems. So often we want to blame somebody else, but sometimes we might need to blame ourselves and allow Satan to tempt us. But he is the source, and when we are tempted and things go our way, we need to make sure that we're pointing in the direction of putting blame where it belongs. Because Satan is very good at what he does. Notice Satan's desire. Again, the Lord is telling us, Simon, he desired not just to have you, but to sift you. Satan does not want the Lord to have anyone. He wants to own his own followers. Satan lured Judas, and now he's trying to lure Peter. I have a message, I won't preach it this morning, but it's in the reference to that aspect or idea of sifting and how Satan desires not only to sift Peter as the Lord warns him, but dear friends, he has to sift any Christian that he has the opportunity to really run them through the ringer. His desire is to have Peter, but his design in doing that, as we see in this passage of Scripture, once again in verse 31, to sift you as wheat. See, it's a figure of speech for testing something. And Satan wants to sift Peter and prove that he is a phony, just like Judas. Satan also tried to sift Job, but we know from the story there that old Job through the strainer without a doubt. But Job won. He held out. He honored the Lord. He would not curse God. He would not turn from his position for the Lord. And God blessed him. Dear friends, how well are you doing when Satan arrives with his strainer at your house? How well are you doing? How many of y'all, help me out real quick. How many of you know what I'm talking about, sifting flour? Come on, especially some of you older folks, some of you've been on the mission field. Michelle and I know well, we used to have to sift the flour to get the boll weevils out. We had to sift the beet sugar to get the other stuff out of it before we got wheat to separate. I thought about that passage when I saw Michelle for the first time sifting that wheat to separate the impurities. Dear friends, Satan has a desire to point out our flaws as he sifts us. He has a desire to point out things to run us through the strainer to see what remains on top. And dear friends, how are we doing in that area? When old Satan shows up at our place, when he shows up in the conversation, when he shows up when you think no one is looking, how are we doing when he's there with his strainer? Are we doing our part? Are we mindful of knowing that just like the Lord told Peter that I prayed for you, as he prays for us and as he intervenes and helps us, the source of the problem. But notice letter B, the source of prayer. Christ prayed for Peter, as I mentioned, the person of prayer. He says, I have prayed for thee. See, Christ being omniscient knew Satan's desire and he prayed for Peter. And dear friends, God knows our situation. He knows what we're going through and he always makes a way of escape if we'll just take the opportunity at times when we need to look. And we may have to put our running shoes on, but he prepares a way. Not only the person of prayer, but the purpose of prayer. It says that thy faith fail not. He did not pray that Peter would not face the trial, but that he would overcome the trial. He did not pray for Peter's finances, for Peter's fame or his job, but he prayed for his faith. He says, I prayed for thee. And dear friends, we as well ought to be praying for one another. I get excited every week when these men that are able to get up and down easily to come and join. I know others who remain there in their seats are also praying. But to see these men knowing that they are praying for me as I pray for them, praying for their church as I pray for their church, praying for their community and their church community as I pray for them as well. They want to make a difference. They want their faith to be strong. And dear friends, the Lord wants the same thing for allowing the Lord to help us when say, thy faith fail not. Dear friends, are we allowing the Lord to help us when Satan comes by with his strainer? The next time old Satan comes around, the temptation is there. You just picture that sifter there that he may have, that strainer, and remind yourself that my Lord is praying for me. My Lord is making a way out. My Lord will help me through this trial. The source of prayer, the person, the purpose, but then the results of prayer. He says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, this word here, converted, used here in this area, is not speaking of salvation. Jesus referring to Peter's recovering from Satan's sifting him. And when Peter recovered, he was to strengthen the brethren. In fact, the Lord already knew, as he told him, you are going to deny me three times. But once you realize that, and once that crock crows, once he crows, and Peter gets under conviction, and he knows, and by the way, gentlemen, when that Holy Spirit comes knocking, when that Holy Spirit is tugging at the door, just like old Peter with that crow crying and crying out, we can say, Lord, oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me not to go through this again. And dear friends, just like Peter, the Lord is telling Peter, I know you're going to fail me. I know you're going to deny me. But when you do and you get turned back around where you need to be, I need you to go strengthen your brother. I need you to go strengthen your brethren, because he knew they would need the strengthening. He knew they would need that encouragement. He knew because of what was going to take place to him as he gave his life, they would not understand. He said, Peter, rebound, regroup, and strengthen the brethren. And dear friends, we need to do the same thing. Whether we fall ourselves, whether we fall under temptation, we get things turned back around, we need to do all that we can to warn others. Hey, man, Satan got me here. Well, you know, today on Facebook, so they tell me, because I don't have a Facebook account. But I get an email about every other week telling me that someone logged into my Facebook account that I do not have. And his name is always the same. I mean, my daughter tells me, hey, email every week. But they tell me, my wife tells me, my daughter tells me, hey, just saw on Facebook they got a speed trap. And I just laugh because, you know, in Arizona, people don't care. They're going to drive anyway. But they'll have the traffic is backed up. Oh, you better get off on Miller Road. Oh, well, it's really backed up. You better get off of McDowell and come down McDowell to Jackrabbit. The traffic is all backed up. What are they doing? They're warning you of what's to come because they're sitting in traffic and don't want you to do the same. You know, sometimes we ought to be praying and encouraging and warning one another when Satan pulls his new tricks. Well, boy, Satan almost got me. Boy, did he throw something out and tempt me today. I'm going to share with you, brother, you need to pray. I'm praying for you. Look out. Be aware. Because your friend Satan is not going to quit. He's not. He knows, but he is not going to quit. And when he uses something that works on one Christian, he's going to use it again to work on somebody else. In fact, if it doesn't work on somebody, he might polish it up and try it on somebody else. He's got his sifter. He's not going to give up. But when we do fail, when we do fall into temptation, or we almost fall into temptation, and we regroup, we are to strengthen the brethren. We are to warn others, and we are to be reminded that he is still at work. Dear friends, it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 80. He's still going to do what he can to wreak havoc in your life. And we must remember that the source of our prayer, the Lord Jesus, who prayed for Peter, is also there for us. And that purpose, because if Satan may sift us, but he wants us to know that he is for us. He is behind us. And the result of those prayers, hopefully, is a response. Hopefully, as if we fail, that we'll get right, be converted, turn around, and warn the brethren, and to keep on serving the Lord. See, Christ did not say, convert the lost people. Peter's ministry was to strengthen the saints. Now, you bear with me. They needed strengthening just as a new babe needs milk to grow stronger. And dear friends, there must always be a strengthening. Not always reaching the lost and discipling them, but remember those that are here and strengthen and encourage and to challenge them and help them to continue to grow. Always a balance in ministry of reaching others, discipling, and growing those, as the Lord tells Peter, to strengthen the brethren. The source of the problem, the source of prayer. And let her see this morning the source of pride. In verse 33, we see again, he says, I am ready to go with thee. I am ready to go with thee. Peter's pride caused a poor response. And by the way, it is still a problem for many today. Hey, come on now. We all at some time or another have a weak point or place. If we're not careful, we can become very prideful. In fact, if we're not careful, we just might fall right into it. We might allow ourselves to allow Satan to puff us up to think that we are more than what we are. Peter thought he was ready for prison. He says, I am ready to go with thee. That first portion is into prison. Eventually, he would be ready, but not today. Yeah, he would be, but not this day. This day, Peter was not prepared to confess Christ or even to go with him as he heard that cock crow after denying him 3 times. He had high hopes. He had a genuine desire, but he wasn't ready that day. Let me ask, dear friend, are you ready when Satan comes around with his sifter? Are you ready when things come in? Are you ready when someone confronts you about your faith? Are you ready to give an account and answer of who you are in Christ? Even in a world today that is becoming less and less popular of who Christ is and serving and living for the Lord, we must be ready, not just in word and having the confidence, but indeed as well. Lord, I am ready. Peter thought that he was ready, but also notice that Peter thought he was ready to pass on. He thought he was ready to die. He thought he was ready to do anything with the Lord, not just prison, but even unto death. I am ready to go with this in the face of confrontation or even death. We tend to think that we are stronger spiritually than what we really are. I remember when I was in basic training, and I'll use myself as illustration this morning, then we'll move on. I did all I could to be a witness. I did all I could to make a difference. I made up my mind when I arrived in basic training. I talked with my pastor, my youth pastor, and they said, Brother Cook, you just look at this. Back then, they called me Mac. For those of you who knew the church, my name is Douglas MacArthur Cook Jr. They called me Mac or Mac Jr. as a young boy growing up. And he said, Mac, God could use you if you'll be a blessing. I was nervous. I did all I could. But I can remember one time in particular in basic training when I did not speak up when I had for the previous 6 weeks when something was said. I don't know. I can't remember if I was tired. I didn't fully hear what was going on. I didn't comprehend it, but I didn't say a word. You know, half of my platoon looked over at me, expecting me to say something, and I said nothing. Later that day, a gentleman in our platoon, a little bit older, 36 years old, went, for some reason joined the Army, and he came by and he pulled me aside and said, Cook, is your God still real? Boy, he might as well put a dagger in my back or in my heart and just twisted it. I thought, what do you mean? He says, you didn't speak up today. For 6 weeks, 7 weeks, you have spoken up every single time. People expect you to say something, and when you didn't today, everybody was shocked. Boy, I felt about that big. I heard the rooster crowing. The Holy Spirit just convicted me that night on mail call. When the drill sergeant came by, we were all sitting on the steps like we do at the end of the day to give out mail. I stood up and said, can I say something? And I apologized to my platoon that I did not say nothing. My God is still real. I've got no excuses. And I sat down. I don't know how many of those men in my platoon came by later and patted me on the back and said, Cook, we thought something was wrong. Thank you for clearing that up, and thank you for being real. God allowed me to lead both of my roommates to the Lord through basic training, as well as a witness to some others. But I'll never forget that day that I felt like I did not stand true to who I was. Let me ask you, dear friend, how are you doing for your witness? How are you doing in serving for the Lord? How are you doing this ready? Are you ready to go to prison with the Lord? Are you ready to go meet the Lord if it means even your last breath? If it means the firing squad, it means ridicule, it means whatever it may mean. You fill in the blank. Are you ready to go with him? Are you ready to regroup if you failed? Are you ready to get back on your feet and be converted, as the word the Lord used here? In other words, rebounding, getting back on your feet that you might encourage the brethren. The source of the problem. The source of prayer. The source of pride. And then letter D, the source of the particulars. In verse number 34, after Peter's boastful comments, Christ brought him to reality with some predictions of Peter's denials. Peter swift denial here. The Bible says, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Notice here the swiftness of the denials. If we look at the other accounts of the gospel, Mark is more detailed about the cock crowing. Luke emphasizes the swiftness or the quickness of the denial within that 24-hour period. Peter, who boasted of his loyalty, denied Christ. How long or how soon do we forget the promises we make to a holy God? When's the last time you made a commitment, a promise to the Lord, and failed? When's the last time you made a commitment to the Lord and said, oh man, I wish I hadn't have done that. Promise, I haven't been doing it the way I should, but Lord willing, going forward, Father, I want you to use me. I'm going to make that commitment. I'm going to make it up. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing this, whatever the case may be. The swiftness of the denials. Dear friends, let's be careful. Let's be sure of how soon we speak before we realize what the Lord is not only asking of us, but requiring us, that we may measure and say, Lord, help me with these commitments. The swiftness of the denials, but the sum of the denials. He says, thrice that you will deny me. Not just once, but three times Peter denies Christ. How shameful it is when we deny our Lord or betray him for our own comfort. As I read my Bible, it's evident to me as Peter denies him, there was some fear. There was some concern. Oh, you're one of the ones. Your speech betrayeth you. You're one of those followers of Christ. How will we respond? What would our conditions be? If we were under the same setting, the same situation, with a lot of pressure and everything going to the pot, so to say, how would we respond when someone says, hey, aren't you a Christian? Aren't you one of those followers? Are we willingly stand up? Do we willingly fess up and say, yes, I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm ready to serve, to live. I'm ready to go with him, whether it be death or to prison. I am his and he is mine. Dear friends, we never know if we'll buckle or fold until we're in that position. And the best thing to do is to stay ready, get ready, stay ready. And then once again, that sense of accountability and having someone encourage you as you encourage them and pray for one another. The swiftness of the denials, the sum of the denials, and then the shame of the denials. He says, you deny that thou knowest me. Christ makes sure Peter knows the shame of these denials. He tells them what he's going to do. It is denying Christ continuously in their daily walk. Think about that. What a shame to the cause of Christ. We got fans out there that will stay loyal to their team who hasn't won a game in 3 years or won one game a year for the last 10 years. They will still wave the flag. They will still have high hopes. This is my team. But yet something goes sideways and they deny the Lord just like that. Boy, so much more that he has to offer than a professional sports team or anything else the world has to offer. Dear friends, we need to make sure as we gather here today, as we get together with friends and live in this community, we need to make sure and realize as we look at that prediction at the gathering, the Lord knows what we will and will not do when we're under pressure. And we need to remember and to remind ourselves of who the source is. The source of our problem is Satan. It's not Christ asking too much. He does not ask of us that he does not equip us to do. And he is the source of our prayer. As we pray for one another, he's also there for us. And we need to realize that that source of pride and temptation comes from Satan and not our Lord. And then finally this morning, the conclusion at the gathering, as we see in verses 35 through 38. Christ had some final words to say here at this gathering. Notice here a couple things. The provision for service. He says in verse number 35, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. See, after the crucifixion, the disciples don't know this yet, but they're going to experience a changing in their service and ministry in reaching others. They traveled light before because Christ met all of their needs there with them, but now they will have to carry much with them as they go. And dear friends, we need to remind ourselves using that which Christ has given us, has prepared us to use. And we need to make sure that we know it as we prepare, because we will be doing spiritual battle if you plan on serving the Lord. The provision of the service. And letter B, the prediction of suffering. Christ speaks of his suffering on the cross. He says in verse 37, the scriptures in the suffering, this that is written must be accomplished in me. Christ was speaking of the fulfillment of Scripture. You see, Calvary was not an accident. It was planned before the earth was formed, and Christ would fulfill God's plan. And dear friends, he is still going to fulfill his plan right here through Harvest Baptist Church and the ministry here, just like he will through other churches of like faith. But what we need to be prepared about, praying about, and working toward is what God has planned for Harvest Baptist Church of Goodyear. What God has a plan for me through ministry here at Harvest Baptist Church. Yeah, there'll be some difficulties, but he's going to make the provision for us. He's going to tell us about the suffering, but we need to understand that he is with us. This that is written must be accomplished in me. And dear friends, as long as we're pointing back to him, as long as we're pointing to the cross and what he has done for us, and remember, he is the one. He is our source of strength as we serve others. Yes, we also see the shame of his suffering. He was reckoned among the transgressors. See, Christ was crucified between two thieves. Again, if we read history in the setting of the culture of that day, this was an attempt to shame Christ greatly. But dear friends, there is no shame in that. Others may have looked at the shame, but we know for the word of God that he suffered willingly. Willingly, he gave of himself. Dear friends, sometimes we need to come to the point and realize there's going to be some times that we need to be ready to willingly suffer some embarrassment, suffer some discomfort, suffer some things of being pointed out, suffer some things of being shouted down, suffer some fear that we don't back off or deny him like Peter did. Let's learn from his mistake. But when we do fail, let's learn from something else that he did. He did turn around, and we'll see later that he did strengthen the brethren. And dear friends, we need to make sure we're always ready to go and serve the Lord. But when we do fall, to be ready to get back on our feet and to be used of the Lord. The provisions, the prediction, and then the presentation of swords in verse 38. Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Typical of the disciples, they really misinterpreted. They did not understand what the Lord was saying about a sword there in Luke 22, verse 36. Bringing Christ two swords was rather ridiculous, really. Christ says, it is enough. For that, they did not understand that no literal sword should stop Christ's suffering. If you remember the story, even Peter whipped out his knife or sword to cut off someone's ear. And dear friends, the only sword, the only weapon we use when we're not on the range practicing, but out in the world, is a sword. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Word of God. The disciples misunderstood what the Lord was referring to. But dear friends, let's don't misunderstand what God has planned for you and I as we live and we serve the Lord. The gathering of the Passover. As we continue our way through these scriptures here in the coming weeks ahead before the death of our Savior and his resurrection, we need to remind ourselves that God has a purpose. He has a place. He has those that are willing to participate. He has a pattern that we are to follow. But yet there still will be those that may betray or be negative or be against what's going on. But let's remember that we won't allow pride or things of the flesh to disrupt what God has for us. Dear friends, no matter what takes place tomorrow, what takes place next year, I'm going to put that ahead of me. I'm just going to let it go because I'm going to be worried about what's right and governor or next senator. I'm not going to worry about who's going to be the next councilman, the mayor, or where it takes place, because if I get so concerned, I can pray and I can do my part. But I need to be less consumed with that and more consumed with what God has prepared right here for me as I minister through Harvest Baptist Church. We have a gathering. We have a group. And God will add to that as we serve. But let's be careful not to be distracted or looking away or looking off or be so busy, concerned, or even fearful. And when Satan comes his way with a sifter, and by the way, he will. Let's be prepared and remind ourselves, I'm not too proud to know that I could misstep. I'm not too proud to think that I won't fail. But I'm also humble enough to say, Lord, help me. I'm humble enough to ask my brother, my pastor, my deacon, my friends, my sister in Christ to pray for me, because I'm not going to allow pride to creep in that may cause me to fall. And dear friends, we need to be prepared, not only in battle spiritually to help another brother up, but we also need to be prepared in battle to make sure that we can continue to press on, win the back off for another day of battle. But most importantly, let's do our part and let's speak with one voice as a church family as we serve the Lord and say, Lord, help us. Because like any other church body across America, across the world, there may be those in wolf's clothing that ships sneak in. There may be those that we see out who pretend to be something they're not, whether it be in politics or whether it be in our school systems or whether it be in life in general. Let's be aware and make sure that we keep Christ the focal point of that which we do and that which we say and that which will honor him as we gather together, not just in our services here on Sundays and Wednesdays, but also as we gather with him in prayer on a daily basis. Lord, feet that I might make a difference. Lord, help me as I know I have some things coming around the corner, that I will keep my composure, that I will keep my testimony, and that I will do that which is right and pleasing to thee. Because we're all subject to that sifting that Satan brings his way on a daily basis. See, the difference with some of us is Satan, for some of us, comes knocking every single day because he knows we're just about ready to break. Because we're too prideful to ask somebody else to pray for me. We're too prideful to show up at men's fellowship, at other functions, and say, hey, brethren, pray for me. Boy, the devil's really been after me. And what happens, that pride allows us to be pulled into fall. Because, see, there's always strength in numbers. There's always strength when we're praying for one another and lifting one another up. Peter made a mistake. And I'll say this and I'll close. Maybe you've seen something that I didn't see. But as I read my scripture, each and every time that he denied the Lord, he was by himself. Sometimes I think we get too far off and we isolate ourselves too much, when really we need to be around and among other believers that we might encourage and be encouraged. We need to have that balance in our fellowship and our service and realizing I need to be around other church members, other Christians of like faith, that I might be encouraged and that I might encourage others. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He may not have recognized, a conviction didn't fully set in until he heard that rooster crow. But when it did, he knew exactly what he had done and what the Lord had said. Why wait until the Holy Spirit gouges us? Why wait when the Holy Spirit speaks so strong? Why not when we realize that we've misstepped, to go ahead and let's make it right before the Lord has to point it out? Dear friends, we're fixing to have a word of prayer. I don't know the hearts that are here today. In heart, there are times that the rooster is crowing. The Holy Spirit is at work. But we are singing in our heart, I shall not be moved. When we should be moving toward God, whether it's here at an altar or here in our seat and saying, Lord, I failed. Lord, help me. Help me. Strengthen me. Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one is looking around this morning. I won't take a lot of time and won't do any more prying, any more preaching, but just simply ask this morning, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, why not respond? Whether it's here at an old-fashioned altar where you stand, or if you want someone to pray with you, all you have to do is come and raise a hand and we'll make sure me or someone, if I'm busy, someone else will pray with you. But my biggest concern this morning, if you know that you're saved and you know that you're on your way to heaven, how are you doing? Are you being sifted? Are you going through the ringer? Why not ask the Lord to help you? If you're here today and you're not quite sure that you're saved, why not come speak to me now after the service and get that settled before it's eternally too late? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Pray that you speak to the hearts of your people, and may God's people be honest with themselves, honest with you, and respond according to thy sweet Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. As our piano plays and heads are still...